Now I'm delighted to say that Republic of Ireland boss Stephen Kenny joins us live from Germany, but soon to be heading to Budapest, where he'll be watching Portugal for the second time in a couple of days. Stephen, you're so very welcome. I'm actually just going to put it to you straight away about the Mason Mount and Ben Chilwell news, because you've been there. What is it like when you get the news that really important players of yours are self-isolating ahead of a really big game?
Hi, Marie. How you doing? I can't believe we're revisiting that. I'm trying to move on from that. But yeah, I think, listen, as far as I knew, we were the only country that adhered to players with regard to close contacts, because we had, as you know, we had nearly eight players out for a few games for Wales and Finland after we played Slovakia, because we obviously had two players on a false positive were ruled out, and then we had the rest were this close contacts. But you never hear any other teams where the players ruled out with coronavirus. You never hear five or six been ruled out with close contacts. So I suppose the adherence to the rules, maybe we've stricter adherence to than other countries, or maybe other countries are just lax regarding the rules. So it's interesting, and it's terrible for anyone to be ruled out. Billy Gilmore had a terrific game against England, very, very cultured midfield player, and for him to be ruled out, and then possible associate players as well. So it's not ideal for anyone.
Stephen, maybe you just set a precedent now and maybe turn your phone off. Gareth Southgate mightn't be overly happy, but anyway, that's the way things go. But look, there had to be an upside to this job you have, and the perk of going to the Euros is surely the one you got. You've gone to watch Portugal. What did you see? What did you think the other day? I know they got beaten by Germany, but there's still going to be a hard opposition for us.
Portugal are the European champions, of course. They're reigning champions and the Nations League holders. And you mustn't forget, in 2016, they just scraped out as a group and in third place as well. And I think that's, it's interesting. Obviously, got all of the match winners, Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes and Jota and Bernardo Silva are the front four, and exciting. But they were thoroughly outplayed by Germany in the game. It was a great game, to be honest. It was, very high technical standard from Germany, really. And it was good to see. It was interesting tactically for me to see it. We have sort of sometimes used 3-4-3 in recent times, and between 3-4-1-2 and 3-4-3. And it was interesting to see Germany go against Portugal with 3-4-3, and they really caused them problems out wide, and they played Joshua Kimmich and Gosens as wing backs were so high up the pitch. They played really high, and that caused Portugal no end of problems. And it was a fascinating game, really, and terrific to be at.
So, Stephen, when you go to watch a team like Portugal against Germany, knowing that you're going to be playing them in a short while, what are you looking for?
Well, there's so many things. Like, for example, I go to see, it's from Portugal, in Budapest now on Wednesday. But, it's just how they play against different systems. For example, Germany 3-4-3. But, of course, France won't be. France will play with a back four. And, they'll play differently, and how Portugal react to that. You learn so much, really, from watching the games live. Much more than you can ever see on TV, And I think it's great to attend live games. And obviously that's not been possible for a lot of people throughout the year. And it's great to see supporters back at games as well. That gives you the energy of the support. You can feel it. Like, we had that in Budapest. We had, 10,000, which is terrific. It was only a 10,000 seat. It was a full house. But Budapest, you see the games, Hungary, the game I attend on Wednesday will have 65,000 at it. And, we'll have 65,000, and it'll be terrific. The energy of the crowd and the difference that makes, it's really, a different sport. It's incredible when it's full houses, and the energy of the crowd and how the players feed off that is special.
Stephen, there's many different mindsets in sport, and so many different ways anybody can approach a game, a race, whatever it is. But when you're looking at a team like Portugal with a view of playing against them, are you looking at how maybe not to lose against them, or are you looking for a way you could possibly beat them?
Well, it might sound naive saying that when our record hasn't been as strong in recent times, but you must approach every game that you can win it, and I think that has to be of course it draws a good result away in Portugal, but I think you must approach every game that you can win, and you've got to look for ways to try and win games. And that's, it's interesting to see, for example, Portugal's goal kicks, how Germany pissed off them, in the 3-4-3, what success they had. When they, one of the interesting things for me, for example, I was going to the game thinking, all the space will be out wide here with Germany, definitely, because they play 3-4-3. How will Portugal's narrow forwards deal with that? I was thinking to myself that Bernardo Silva, how would he deal with that? But he's taken up at half time, he's subbed at half time. And Goosen scored a disallowed goal and scored in the game to left wing back. So it's interesting to see, how Portugal dealt with or didn't deal with Germany on the day. But maybe Portugal, that type of team, when they, when when the last 16 of the quarterfinals are on and it's on the line, their match winners really step up. And that's what's happened for them in the last couple of tournaments. And there's a, interesting. So, yeah, I do. I will go to Hungary to watch and see how they, obviously last week, for example, in the game against Israel, they won 4-0, and they, they were comfortable and they were very, very good, and they're free flown in the warm up game against Israel. Obviously, they weren't in the game the other night, but I don't think they'll play as poorly again, and I expect sort of an improved performance against France, because they have obviously quality players.
And Stephen, when you're looking at the games that have been on over the last few weeks, and there's been so many of them, and you see teams like Hungary drawn with France and Slovakia beating Poland and Wales and Scotland doing really well as well, does that give you confidence that, look, we're not that far away?
Well, I think, we weren't that, we were a better team against Slovakia in the playoff game. We played exceptionally well that night and we lost them. We missed several chances, obviously, in extra time, but we lost on penalties, and Slovakia have gone on to beat Poland, and all credit to them. I think for us, we're disappointed, that horse tower not there. Of course it does, but I think I've sort of been our last couple of camps, we're disappointed with our points total, of course, that we didn't. I thought we were absolutely brilliant against Serbia away. I thought that's as good as performance in the last few years of an Irish team, past number of years actually, and gone back a few in relation to our technical level that we reached in Serbia against a really quality team. Serbia should be at the Euros. They're probably a last 16 Euros team with the players they've got, to be honest. And I think we lost 3-2, and we shot ourselves in the foot, probably making a couple of mistakes and got punished. We had a very, very disappointing performance against Luxembourg at home, and that's a real black mark. There's no doubt about that. We didn't get to the level of intensity that we had 3 days earlier, and we're disappointed with that. But the last camp, obviously, to score 4 goals in the first game and to play Hungary away, and to see the emergence of sort of, for example, Quaidan Kelleher in goal with Gavin Mazzuno playing a half each, like, to really come on and look. Excellent prospects, really top class. Darren O'Shea, that's his 9th international now, Darren, after coming into the team this year from getting the 21 team. And he's been imperious. The midfield three players that have come in, Josh Cullen, Jason Knight and Jason Malumbi, have got a lot of talent and a lot of energy, and they're only going to get better. You feel the attacking three that have come into the team, Aaron Connolly, Adam Eda and Troy Parra, still have it all to prove. But they have a lot of potential and give us more options, I feel. So if you add in to the experienced players who were absolutely brilliant in the last camp, the Seamus Coleman's, who didn't play but travelled, and was exceptional, James McLean, Shane Duffy, Matt Doherty, players like that. Matt Doherty tweaked his hamstring 2 days before the Hungary game. He had a scan. The scan showed nothing up in it, but most players wouldn't have played because it was a friendly and, the dangers of that. But he's so determined to play for his country, and played in that game, got through it fine, played really well, I felt. And, so we've got a balance of youth now and experience, and I think we've got a good balance for formulating a squad. And I think we've got a big window with Portugal, Serbia and Azerbaijan, 3 in 6 days. I've only actually managed in the Aviva with Ireland. I've only had four matches at home. So this will be the first time that I'll have managed with fans. Very excited about that. I think, I think the players are also. You know, and I think we play Portugal in Portugal, and then we on the Wednesday, so we only meet up quickly and we travel a day and then we play Portugal on the Wednesday. We travel home, play Azerbaijan on the Saturday, and then back-to-back home games Tuesday against Serbia. So, yeah, we'll have fans at both games, Saturday and Tuesday, you know, and we're looking forward to the games, and it's an exciting window.
Yeah, I think definitely as well watching the Euros will have whetted everybody's appetites, and they really want to see it go well in September. And just on that camp that you had, Stephen, what seemed crucial was that you actually got to spend some time together. You got to have proper preparation, get to know each other even better, and just for them to know exactly what you want to do.
Yeah, welcome to continually improve, and we want to improve all the time. And we've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. You know, we're not saying, you know, we're looking to continually improve. And I think, I think the players, listen, several games that we should have beaten Bulgaria twice. We should have won the playoff against Slovakia and several other games. You know, to be honest, Qatar, several games that we should have won and we didn't win. So we managed to sort of get that win, albeit it was against Andorra. And but the players, the young players scoring, Jason Knight getting his first goal and Troy Parrott getting his first couple of goals, it's good for the confidence going forward. And I think the performance in Hungary was against the team going to the Euros full house, bit of a carnival atmosphere, was fine. It was a decent performance, I felt, against Hungary. It was okay, you know, a lot of good play in it. And I think we can build on that now coming into the games against Portugal. Starting with Portugal on the 4th of September. We meet up in August, the end of August, which is such a quick turnaround. And so we're looking forward to that.
Stephen, could you feel that pressure before that Andorra win? The fact that you hadn't got that win?
Listen, just because we've had it, it doesn't change that much. You know what I mean? I think we need to, we need to continue. We need to improve as a team. We need to have we're not suddenly saying, no, we got that win now. You know, I think we know we need to have a good window now in September, and followed by October. Then we're away to Azerbaijan in October and Qatar, and we play Portugal, of course, in Dublin. Brilliant Portugal coming to Dublin, which will be terrific in November. And we go to Luxembourg in November also. So, you know, we want to finish the campaign very, very strongly. It's only two games, so a lot can change. You know, there's 9 points to play for in the window. In this window, so we've got to get as many points as we can in that, and I think that's what we've got to. That has to be our ambition.
Stephen, speaking of pressure, I got great enjoyment yesterday reading all the Sunday papers, and everybody had their opinion as to what Gareth Southgate should be doing, who he should be playing, how they should be playing, where they should be playing. Do you look at that and think, "Oh, thank God it's not me," or do you feel sort of sorry for him that everyone's having a go?
Are they all having a go? Yeah, no, I don't know. I think it changes quickly. You know, I think they obviously got to the World Cup semi-finals in the last tournament, and expectation is high. But I think it's the same with all in international football. You know, that's the nature of it. In all the nations, and I think when England won the first game, you know, they were just okay really against Serbia. They won a narrow 1-0 game, and they played okay overall, probably better than Serbia. And then people felt they could win. There's a lot of praise, and then they draw with Scotland. Scotland did brilliant, and in the second half, and you know, obviously fine margins. England are focused on. There's obviously a big focus with England with our back four and the two central midfield players of not conceding. You know, they're obviously focused on, you know, the sort of ideological concept that if you go to a tournament and concede very little, you can, you know, that you can do well overall, and their focus seems to be on, you know, big focus on being compact and not conceding, and that seems to be an important part of their armoury.
Stephen, coming off the back of the positive campaign and the camp that you just had, obviously the two games, and looking ahead to September and the games that we have coming up, just how important is, you mentioned the young lads that are obviously cutting their teeth now at international level, but when they go back to their clubs, and obviously it's out of your control and out of your hands, how important is it, or can it be a frustration if you don't see them getting enough game time leading into the games, obviously in September?
Yeah, and I'm hoping, you know, several players get, you know, loan moves or moves, players that are out of the country. For example, someone who I haven't lost faith in, and I think he'd be a great signing for someone if he could just, you know, as a kid, he's had an Achilles. Robbie Brady, you know, I think he's an immense talent, and, you know, he's out of contract now at the moment, and I think he'd be a great signing for someone. You know, I think he'd be a terrific signing, and if he can get fit and get regular game time, he'd be a massive asset to us. There's no doubt about that. I think Shane Duffy, of course, has another year at Brighton, or has a period of left his contract at Brighton, so he'll be looking to play regularly, and he'll be looking to get fixed up soon enough, and I'm sure there will be, you know, a good bit of interest in Shane, and hopefully he gets playing regularly. You feel the goalkeepers, you know, Grieving Kelleher, Gavin Bazoon and Mark Travers, who you know, all potentially could go on loan. It's not without, you know, that wouldn't do any of them any harm. I think that for them to get regular game times, and likewise the forward players, they need to, the young forward players coming into, that have come into the international team, we need them playing regularly at the clubs, or we need them getting regular loan periods, that, you know, so they get the necessary experience. And we've seen sort of Josh Cullen going to Anderlecht, and his game really elevating to a new level, going to Anderlecht and really pushed on. And so there's more than one avenue, you know, and I think it's hopefully the players can get the necessary loan time.
Yeah, we all hope that as well, and that things will go well when those September games do roll around. And just before we finish up, Stephen, we do have the Louth derby tonight, Drogheda United versus Dundalk. Vinnie Perth back in the manager's seat up there. How big a challenge does Vinnie have on his hands?
Yeah, I think, you know, Vinnie's a great appointment for Dundalk now. You know, I think at the moment where they are, they've obviously... It's you know, not going to plan this season, and I think they'll be delighted to when they reopen and they can get the passionate home support back in Oriel Park, because it's you know, it's an old ground, Oriel Park, and it's not been updated in a long time. But when it's full, it's a very passionate place. It can look derelict when it's empty, and when it's full, you know, it looks a terrific place. I'm sure he'll be looking to have passion support at Oriel Park. Still got a good squad there. Maybe it's unbalanced, but still a strong squad there. And Vinnie, I'm sure, will do a very good job there, given time. And, you know, it's great to see him back there.
And, Stephen, is it difficult for you to see all the controversy and drama surrounding the club, just considering how much success you had there and what you achieved?
Yeah. It was a tremendous period. You know, obviously, we won four league titles, and Vinnie added the fifth, and that team won five, and obviously we won a lot of cup competitions. But it was really the fact that, so it's probably one of the most successful teams of all time. But in terms of the European experience to go and play Hajduk Split away and win away and beat Pate Borisov, beat Maccabi Tel Aviv, go to Alkmaar and draw, go to Zenit St. Petersburg and perform home and away against clubs like that, and Legia Warsaw home and away, and to see and to, you know, to take on teams of that calibre would be have a really high percentage of possession in a lot of those games. And I think that was the key to Dundalk in that period, is that we transformed the way that Irish football was viewed in Ireland at that time. I think they saw people seeing the team and said, you know, it was a very exciting way of playing against top European opposition and connected with it in a major way. And I think Vinnie will be keen to get back to you know, to win and ways over the next few weeks and gradually build something. I know they have the European Conference, which is a new concept that we're all still learning about. A few of the teams, obviously, are in Europe this year. Bohemians are in Europe. and of course Shamrock Rovers are in the Champions League, which is very exciting. And so it's Sligo Rovers, of course, the other team. In,
yeah,
in
don't
Europe.
Forget Sligo Rovers, Stephen.
Liam Bucket's been terrific there. You know, they turned the season around last year and qualified for Europe, and some smashing young players there. They're doing terrifically well. So it's great for the teams. Hopefully now they can go into Europe and the supporters will be allowed back in and there'll be passionate nights, and it'll be great to see them do well.
Right, Stephen Kenny, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy that game now on Wednesday night. 62,000 people there. That's pretty special, and we'll check in with you again soon.